So many times when we pray and we ask God, or we make our petition known to the Lord, but how many times do we give Him thanks?
Amen.
Even before He do it.
That's right.
If you remember the lepers that got healed, only one returned to give Him thanks.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, how many times do we actually give Him thanks? And you know, before God even does it,
amen,
we ought to know that He's going to do it and go ahead and give Him thanks.
Yeah. Amen.
As we've been looking at different studies, we've been talking about the kingdom of God and kingdom stewardship and becoming sons and daughters. And Brother David addressed the issue Sunday about our character as being believers. And Brother Dane last night, he talked along the same lines. But tonight, I want to pertain to the same thing, but I want to ask the question before we get started. We come from all different types of cultures.
Yes. Amen.
And your culture will pretty much either affect or destiny your life. Me coming from an African-American culture and growing up in church and probably our culture for church was different from so many other churches. It was a culture that the preachers always incorporated from the message coming out of bondage or coming from freedom from where our ancestors had came from. And they always mixed it with a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But coming from all these different cultures, when we truly touch reality.
Yes. Amen.
Really, does any of that matter?
No.
Does any of your future or your past culture matters? And when it comes to the kingdom of God, if you remember what the Apostle Paul said, we have came to Mount Zion, the city of God, the New Jerusalem. They weren't formed by hands.
Yes.
So, you know, you come to a kingdom lifestyle,
yes,
kingdom,
yes,
foundation, this form of stuff of what we come up with, if it wasn't true,
yeah,
then it don't matter.
Amen.
And so many times, it was the things that we were taught or we came up in, it took us your emotions or your feelings. And, you know, some people would get up and dance and some would get up and praise. But the next week, if they didn't have the word,
amen,
and the adversary confronted you, what did you have to stand on? And, you know, it really can be a touchy situation when it comes to some people in their past culture or their former life. And in Romans 12:1-2, in the Message it says, and I'll give you a minute to get, I'm reading this from the Message, I know it's just a different version. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering.
Wow.
Amen. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture,
yes,
that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, notice what it says here. Instead, fix your attentions on God. You'll be changed from the inside out.
Yes.
From the inside out. Really recognizing what He wants for you. Always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. How many times do our culture come back to haunt us?
Amen.
And drag us back to that form of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. Developed. He will develop.
Yes.
And well form and bring maturity in you. The apostles were the first in a line of kingdom succession to interpret and apply the concepts Jesus taught. They understood that kingdom life first had to be installed inside of a person before it was possible to live that life eternally.
Yes, that's right.
It's got to first be in the inside of you before you can begin to live.
That's good.
The prophets, the law of Moses, and its applications only gave man a sound, godly information system, which made them performance oriented. The new system would be relationship driven, and it was transformational by nature. Sometimes fundamentalism had to change in a person's heart. The acquiring of a new nature.
Mm.
Have we all acquired a new nature?
Yes. Amen.
Otherwise, men would fit easily into the existing carnal culture.
Yes.
Rehearsed out of the old nature. If there are no changes in nature and behavior, we must take a deep, careful look at why, rather than making excuses for remaining as we were prior to being reset in the original design.
Mm.
Ephesians 4:17-21 in the Message says, "And so I sit, and God backs me up on this." And notice what Paul says, God's backing me up on this, that there be no going around with the crowd.
Amen.
The empty-headed, mindless crowd. They refuse for a long time to deal with God, that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself.
Oh, yes.
They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go into sexual obsessions, addicted to every sort of perversion.
Hmm.
But that's no life for you. You've learned Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to Him, being well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. So,
that's right.
If you really study the Word of God, it's no excuse.
Amen.
For you being ignorant. It's no excuse.
That's right.
For the cost of making mistakes. It's no excuse.
Oh, that's good. That's
everything, right. And I do mean everything connected with that old way of life, Paul says, it had to go.
Yes.
It's rotten.
Yeah.
Through and through.
Amen.
Get rid of it. And then take on an entire new way of life. A God-fashioned life.
Hmm.
A life renewed from the inside and walks and working itself into your conduct. And you know what? Not only your conduct, but it accurately responds God's character
yes.
in you.
Amen.
I thought I'd ask the question tonight, has God's character really reproduced itself in you?
Mm. Wow.
Because your character reflected of the character of Jesus. But Jerusalem, I want you to listen. You know, really, I know it's probably a lot of information tonight, but you know what? It's good. The Jerusalem church leadership established four pillars.
Yes.
Of vibrant expression as they corporately manifested their sonships. The apostles served as governmental borders while life was organic. It was original in the structure of the church. If we use the tabernacle of Moses as the teaching model, the book of Acts, especially after the day of Pentecost when they received the Holy Spirit, corresponds to the holy place and its furniture. Uh-oh, now you want to go back. If you want to understand the new, you must understand the old.
That's right.
The golden candlesticks, the table of showbread, and the art of incense. These pieces of furniture in type gave way to, to an new experience. The apostles' doctrine, the candlesticks, the lampstand, and if you notice, fellowship and the breaking of bread, the table of showbread and prayer, the altar of incense. This was the overt culture that the church continually steadfasted in, to be consistently diligent in. They were steadfast in.
Yes.
Are we really steadfast in?
Yes.
In the word.
Absolutely.
Are we jumping down? Go back and forth. Or are we steadfast in? Believers became the embodiment of the holy place. Hebrews 9, 1 through 5 says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For these was a tabernacle made. The first within was the candlesticks and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary.
Yes.
And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein it was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenants, and over it the cherubims of glory shattering the mercy seat, of which we can not now speak practically. Hebrews, and that was Hebrews 9, 1 through 5. Notice, I want you to look at something here. If you always, you know, it says notice or note, that means pay attention.
Yes.
Note the principle of the apostles' doctrine as the candlestick or light or lampstand. Premises was given to the word or of the apostles' doctrine. Christ is the revelation in the midst of the candlesticks, in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we'll see a scripture from this in a minute in Revelations 1, 12 through 13. Each lamp provided a particular revelation of Him. When we collectively place all the lamps together, we have a full body of revelation called the Apostles' Doctrine.
Amen.
Which is strengthened by the seven lamps or the seven spirits of God. And if you make, if you take your notes, just make reference to, and you can go back and look at it, Isaiah 11, 1 through 4. Each apostle contribute something of Christ as He is uniquely revealed, bringing that seven is the number of completeness.
Amen.
Another view of this is the seven essential teachings to be established a new covenant system's foundation. Notice, repentance from dead works.
Amen.
Faith towards God. The doctrine of baptism. The laying on of hands. The resurrection of the dead. Eternal judgment. And perfection of maturity. On the personal level, we must submit ourselves to really study, not halfway study,
yes,
but the study of God's Word in order to ingest the Word. Otherwise, we are building our lives and ministries on sand.
Wow. Amen.
And you wonder why so many people are messed up in church. Because they're not getting the true Word.
Amen.
They've been listening to somebody who's performing or building a ministry.
Yeah.
And you know what happens with singing? More of the right food.
Yes.
Don't have a message.
Amen.
So basically what you have been fed is a ministry of nothing. And if you notice here, there's several scriptures to back this up. Psalms 119 and 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 6:23-24 says, for the commandment is a lampstand, and the law is a light, and the reproof of instructions are the way of life.
Amen.
To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And I'm not picking on the women, I'm just reading what the word
means.
And you notice the flattery of the tongue has got more people into a mess,
amen,
than anything else in life. John 1:1-5 says, in the beginning was the Word. Notice, what first thing? In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
So it had to change?
No.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Amen.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things, if you notice, I didn't make nothing.
Yeah.
You ain't made nothing.
Amen.
All things were made by Him. And without Him, not anything was made that was made. You remember,
amen,
when Job was complaining, what did God ask Job? Job, where were you at?
Yeah.
When I put the stars in space.
That's right.
Job, where were you at when I made the world? You know what? I made a place for you to walk on.
Yes.
So what are you complaining about?
Amen.
You know what? God's got the right to do whatever He want to do.
That's
whatever
right.
Whatever He want to do it.
That's good.
And ain't nothing we can do about it.
Amen.
But you know what? If we're in Him, and He's in us,
yes,
we'll respond,
yes,
to anything that He do.
Amen.
You know what? And you won't be complaining.
Yep.
You know what? It's one thing about it. If we walk together,
yep,
if we walk in unity, then there's no complaining.
Amen.
It's when we don't walk in unity, it's where the problems come.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And what Timothy was actually saying is give attendance to teaching.
Yeah.
You know, and don't come up with this theory, well, you know, I ain't following nobody, I'm teaching myself. But we're going to talk about that again too.
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 5:27 says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read into all the holy brotherhood.
Yes.
And notice what Revelations 1:12-13 says. And if you notice, this is John. He's speaking of what the vision or the revelation he had of Jesus Christ. And notice what I just talked about, the golden candlestick,
yes,
and everything. And John said in Revelation 1:12-13, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven
amen,
golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man,
amen,
clothed with the garment down to the foot and girdled about the paps with a golden girdle. Mm-hmm. Note, the principle of fellowship and the breaking of bread as the table of showbread, true fellowship is directly connected to the fact that we walk in the light of God's word. Otherwise, we have no ground for fellowship.
Amen.
Our true fellowship is connected only when we walk together in the word of God.
Yes.
One of the definitions for showbread is the bread of faith. As we each enter transparently into the place of fellowship with one another, we become bread to one another.
Yes.
Mm. We become transparent.
Amen.
As we walk in the revelation of His Word. It's no hidden agenda in the Word of God.
That's right.
No hidden agendas. The hidden agendas are in us,
yes,
not in the Word of God. On the personal level, it is important to fellowship on the corporate level. However, it is equally valuable to have small, trustworthy groups one can submit to for the purpose of accountability.
Yes, yes, amen.
Wow. Mm. You need small groups.
Mm.
And you know what? Within that group, there should be accountability.
Yes.
One with the other. Amen.
Amen.
We need people in our lives who are not just somebody to bash you or beat you up. We need people in our lives who are edified.
Amen.
But also unafraid to ask the difficult questions when it's necessary.
Amen.
You know, so many times we don't want to hurt people's feelings. But you know what? When it comes to your kingdom lifestyle.
Yes.
And it's not coming up the park.
Yes.
You know what? It's time for you to become accountable to somebody.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. And you know, so many times we use this for communion of scripture. But it says, the cup of blessings which we bless is not the communion.
That's right.
Or, in other words, it is the participation of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are partakers of the same one bread. You know what? We all are one.
Amen. That's right.
We all are one.
That's right.
If we're in Christ and He's in us, then we all are one. John, 1 John 1, verses 3, 6, and 7 says, that which we have seen and heard, declare unto us, you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son,
amen,
Jesus Christ. You know, when we have fellowship together, not only should our fellowship should be grounded in the principles of the Father and the Son.
Yes.
If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, and any time that you're not in the light, you're in darkness, and I don't care how many times you fake the light,
yeah,
when you don't walk in the light, you're in darkness. Because you know why? Sooner or later, your speech is going to betray you. Sooner or later, your lifestyle is going to betray you.
Yes.
And do not, and you know what? And you won't be truthful about that. We just want to be honest. But if we walk in the light, if He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from sin.
Yes.
Do we walk
sin. Amen.
One with the other? Do we really walk one with the other? Do we really have fellowship with our brothers and our sisters. When's the last time, you know, you contacted one of your brothers and sisters that you haven't seen in a while? And after me, say, no, brother, I'm just calling to check on you to see are you alright. Do we really do that? But we'll get on our knees and we'll pray, Lord, we'll pray for him.
Yeah.
But then, do we ever contact him?
Yes. Amen.
Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4 says, Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Notice what it says, having the same love, being of one accord,
yes,
of mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit,
amen,
but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Boy, that's where the rubber hits the road. It gets tough then.
Amen.
Man, wait a minute, my Lord. You telling me that I got to treat him better than I treat myself?
Yes.
You know what? God only wants you to treat him like you treat God. So if you treat God like a dog, you're going to treat your fellow man like a dog.
That's right.
You notice what Jesus said in the same commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all your body, heart, soul, and mind. And you notice what he said. Amen. And then love your neighbor as yourself.
Yep.
What he was saying is, you know what? Are you going to love your neighbor truly like you love God? Yep. No. How can you say you love your neighbor? You look over there and see his house on fire, and you don't do nothing, you go heaven.
Yes.
But you say, brother, I prayed for you that the fire department would get there soon.
Yeah.
That ain't doing him a bit of good.
No.
If he's over there in that house and he can't get out.
Amen.
But you know what? If your house was on fire and you were there hollering and couldn't get out, wouldn't you want that brother or somebody to come help you?
Yeah.
And the thing is, we must have fellowship with our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And the last verse, it says, in the fourth, it says, let each of us look out not only for his own interests,
yes,
but also for the interests of others.
Amen.
I pray tonight that this word spoke to your heart. I pray that you wrote down the scriptures so you can really go back and look at them and study them and allow God to truly speak to your heart.
Amen.
But you know what? If we don't model our life on the principles and the doctrines of the apostles,
yes,
as they modeled their life after walking with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what you think about something? The 3.5 years or 3.3 years that the disciples spent with Jesus, he poured within him 7,000, I think it was 56 hours or something like that. The average Christian don't spend 1 hour a day at the best with the Lord. It'll take you 19.3 years to get the same result. Wow, what have we done?
Amen.
Have we truly put our time into studying the Word of God?
Amen.
And you know what? The true evidence is our lifestyles are short.
Yes.
Amen. God bless you. I love you.
Amen.
Father, we just thank you now.
Thank you.
You allow this word,
Lord God,
to sow deep in your people's heart, God. God, I just thank you for allowing me to be the vessel.
Yes.
No goodness in my own, Lord. And God, your servant poured out of your his heart what you have placed in his spirit. We thank you now. In Jesus' name,
amen. 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 Amen.
I've never seen people that made killers like these
myself. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, okay.
Yeah, the sound is kind of funny.
Well, I mean, it just is what it is. You know, I do.
Anyway.
Say whatever you want, Miss Jackie, Miss Betty, please.
Back before the city cleaned up the what they now call the cultural district, it was just nothing but hookers and decorated movie theaters. We had a really wealthy guy in the church. He's a contractor, shit real well. We had millions of dollars for himself. He rented a storehouse, and we called it the Storehouse of Love. Mm-hmm. And we had, well, like those displays. Like, we had regular card displays for the private way. We had a card store.
Yeah.
We had them all up a big display. People would just get them that. And then, anyway, we rented down there. And I remember I was a very young man back then. I was a few years in the way, 6 months for a while before. We didn't get the thing.
Help yourself.
For my years.
Here's on. This is.
I remember telling Lloyd one night, I said, you know, if you ever want to be
the most popular
preacher in 50 years, I would.
They go hard against Catholics and Muslims and all kind of things. And they always have a good salvation message. So would you like to see those Indian stuff? The Pastor Peter sent me from India.
Well, you know, that's how the gospel got out. Remember? That's how the gospel got out. Remember when they were, after they crucified Jesus, and the disciples went from place to place, mm-hmm. and they were scared? That's how the gospel got spread.
Well, because of persecution. Yep,
yeah.
That's right. That's right. The persecution fanned the gospel around the world.
It does.
And so these are little short clips. It's kind of cancer. So this is one of Pastor Peter's pastors right here. And so these Muslims stopped him. And then what they did, they got, yeah, these were all Bibles and Christian literature. And there's the man right there. There's the pastor that got beat up. And there's all the Bibles for burning. I'm an international Bible teacher and author, and so I travel in many places around the world, and I preach anywhere the Lord sends me. And so the Rock Fellowship is a fellowship It's not a church, it's a fellowship. Yeah, it's a fellowship. And so on Sundays, we have a very similar, what we did here tonight. It's a home group meeting outside our home. So this is a home group meeting inside the home. And, but yeah, I minister in a number of different churches, you know, in the area. So, matter of fact, we're headed to Alabama, and I'll be ministering in a church in Alabama.
I travel.
I'm getting too old for traveling.
How old?
64.
Wow.
I'm just a young lad. But okay, going overseas. I have a ministry called Beholding His Glory. And so that's kind of where the different places that I've traveled to and ministered. I've been in 84 countries of the world.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah, the Lord has been very gracious.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is, let's see, where that video was taken. Let's see if my... pointer, come on, work. I need to get a new pointer. This was given to me, believe it or not, when I was in the military by a 4-star general. Monty Miggs was his name. I retired in 2000. Yeah, I'm a with my shadow.
Yeah,
that was my shadow box. And so that was me when I was in Beirut, Lebanon. I was scared then. I was scared then because that I was on a ship in Beirut, and this was after the bombing, and so that was the shadow box that they had built for me. Well, I tell you, if you have someone that wants to get a shadow box, that's just, you know, what was done. I mean, it was a lady, and it's called Medals to Honor. She does shadow boxes like that. She lives in out by the back gate with that. What is that place? You know, what's that area by the back gate? No.
That little, what it's called?
Bear Creek. And she lives out in Bear Creek. And she was in E7 in the Marine Corps. And she got a shadow box when she retired. It was terrible. And it was, no, it's not outside of Hubert. It's outside, I guess it would be, a bit closer to the gate. You go right, at the gate you go right and you go around, and there's a big, Bear Creek Baptist Church right there, and then her house is right by that. But she retired as an E7, and she got the shadow box that looked terrible. And she said, I will never, ever allow this to happen again. And so she went out and she started her company called Medals to Honor. And now, she probably a millionaire. Oh yeah, she has big business. Oh yeah, I mean, she does quality work. Holy cow, look at this. Karen's hooking me up. Hooking me up, my goodness. Hooking me up, okay. Man. Look at this. A lot of track there.
Please read them before you give them out. Okay. Some of them are kind of strong.
What?
Black, that's hot.
Oh,
but that's good right there.
That's plain.
Yeah.
If you owned a food truck, what would be today's special?
If I owned a food truck?
Yep. Put the napkin, but if you owned a food truck, what would be today's special? I know what mine would be. I would sell, my today's special would be mahi-mahi fish tacos. Assuming we have some fresh mahi.
Thank you so much, man.
We'll say what, huh?
Where is the place that, Rachel?
Rachel, yes.
Rachel, what was the place
that
they invested
there together? I don't know, dear. All I know is that it was a facility that was over an hour from here.
Oh.
It was in another county, I think. Officer Virgo, Alberta. But I don't know anything about the facility they were in. I didn't ask them.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when I meant that they went through it together. I don't know if they necessarily were hand in hand the whole time. But what I mean was they both checked in the same day and they were there for 30 days. And they checked out together and now they're decided to live together and make an effort to be sober to get. That's what I was getting at.
My son and his girlfriend, that's why I'm not going to be home.
Well, as long as they could get, let me ask her what the name of their place was, and I'll send that to you or to Dave. But yeah, if they're insured and the place has a opening, they should be accepted. I mean, you know, it's usually that's straightforward, isn't it?
They're not insured.
I mean, if they're not insured, that's a whole crap shoot in and of itself then, because then you're at the mercy of the state.
Uh-huh.
And the state isn't real
good about that.
They abandoned the rehab. Yeah. Well, that might work against them too if they want to be going back. Although, I had a friend on subpoena. He died at age 53 from an alcohol consumption and a heroin overdose. At age 53, from the time he was 10 years old, he had been through no fewer than 43 different rehab or treatment programs in his lifetime. 43. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, you want that. You know what I mean? But the thing with Jack was, he witnessed his own son get shot and killed in front of him, and he was never able to process that. Never able to process it fully, you know. And it's like, I told a couple of the people, because I knew Jack pretty well after I got to know him. I told the one place where he went, I talked to them on his intake. I said, you know, I said, if you don't get through to this man about dealing with his son being shot, I said, you're going to not get him at all. Because that is the only thing that he's stuck on. And nothing we have done helps, you know. Nothing we did helps. I used to go and sit with him on Sean's tombstone for hours in the afternoon just to try to talk through it with him, you know. Yeah. Sat on the boy's tombstone and we did, I just never got through, you know. Then I went to bed January 1st, 2017. That was a heck of a wake up for New Year's Day. Find your roommate dead in his bed. Oh no. No. I'll tell you what, it sure changed the whole dynamic of New Year's ever since. For me, anyway. Instead of celebrating a new year, remembering a life gone too soon. You know?
Nobody leaves without taking some of this stuff home. Nobody leaves. I'll throw myself in front of your car. And I'll do it. I'll throw myself in front of your door. Yes, in front of your dog. He's chilling on my back.
Oh,
you think he can take my garbage truck? I usually flip it up so he can just look from the outside.
Can you show
me that? On the side of the garage there.
You already deserve that?
Yeah. And they come there Friday.
Yeah.
They want.
Yeah.
And, Connie will be coming over, but I don't know when, probably over the weekend. But I just don't like the barbecue out there because I'm eating it out.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, well, tell you what.
Just gotta go for it.
See, you're smart. You can get away with this. This is like me. I can't do this. I can't go my way up like this. You're small and gay. I'm like, oh, you can do this. Did you guys take some tracks?
I'm going to go to the next one.
You know what? My whole family, all up in New Jersey, they all went to see that fire service and all that. And you know what? They woke up for anxiety medicine. Even my father, they put him on anxiety medicine. He used to drink a lot, and he put a drink in, and he had to go on anxiety medicine. Everybody's on anxiety medicine, which is a bunch of crap. It don't do you no good because then you don't want to have a handle on anything.
It wasn't there. Dave? You never jacked no first. So what the wrong was for this trying to say he was crazy. So hud. Thank God for salvation because I'm here and I'm not.
Well, I mean, if she has, you know, if she has schizophrenia or something like that.
Everyone. She was on a lot of pain.
Yeah.
And they kind of said something wrong with her man. When my doctor finally got there, she was still in the house. My daughter's family. Took a cell one in her family. She had a form of it with something else.
Yeah.
Both of them born straight, but she had a little more. She had a back. Long bone pain. Oh, yeah.
One back back?
Yeah, I got the guy. That's a good man at home. She's thank you for everything, and I'll see y'all tomorrow. You know, when y'all pick us up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to get my coffee in the door.
Thank you.
there. It just gave way. Yeah. It just gave way.
I think it's for the fellowship, I don't know. Or maybe you were talking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is this your food in the paper plate here?
I'm sorry? Yeah. What? Deposit
75 because this is 275 on there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.